Hello and welcome to the Fastest Lap podcast, helping you to stay up to date with the fast-moving world of Formula One. The Canadian GP delivered a very controversial race with plenty to talk about. Was Vettel's penalty fair? What does it mean for the sport? We discuss it today. My name is Jan, and as ever, I'm with Fergal. Hello everyone to episode 145 of the Fastest Lap podcast. Let's start with the big topic from Montreal that made the headlines. Fergal, what is your opinion of the new pit building?
Very good.
Well, of course, that's not the
well. It
big
was on,
topic.
On Thursday. It seemed to be that was the big topic, but I guess the weekend
went on. even on Friday, when drivers went out of the garage and had like pieces of the floor on their glued to their tires.
Yeah,
but of course, that was not the biggest headline. You might have seen it from the thumbnail if you're watching on YouTube or follow us on Instagram. Of course, it's the incident between Vettel and Hamilton. And basically every news publication, every ex-driver, every journalist basically published their opinion of the incident. And of course, we want to follow with that. So, Fergal, first of all, how did you interpret the incident? And if you had been a steward, would you have given the penalty as well?
Well, I'm going to answer that latter question first. If I was a steward, would I have given the penalty? Look, I think the stewards have much more information than we'll ever have. So, and they use that information that they had at their disposal to award the penalty. So it's kind of impossible for me to answer that fairly.
But based on the information we had as viewers,
I mean, it was a big shame. I think first of all to have the penalty decide the race like that. You know, when it first happened, I think a lot of people were highly against the penalty, and I think in the hours after the race and the day after the race, it sort of seemed like it came back a little bit, and more people started to speak out in favor of the penalty.
Maybe it was influenced by the commentators. Of course, Sky does not only broadcast in the UK, they also, I think, the commentary is broadcasted to Australia, to F1 TV, of course. Maybe that also had an influence, because I think all of them, Brundle, Croft, and even Ted Kravitz said something along the lines, if that's a penalty, we can just pack up and go home, and something like that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're easily influenced, then sure. But, you know, we all saw the same things that they saw, pretty much. Well, I guess some people would like, some people probably would compare themselves or would like to think that they are the same type of expert like Martin Brundle, a former F1 driver. But I think at the end of the day, it was I think it was harsh. That's my view. I think he went off the track and he did rejoin unsafely, but you know, sometimes can we not just, you know, let things slide? It would be a bit of it, that's without the pun. But you know, if they had made contact, maybe it would have been a bigger situation. And I know there's the argument of, oh well, does it, you know, have to be contact for it to be dangerous and whatnot? And you know, it was unsafe, but yeah, Hamilton, he was right there the whole time, and he could have tried it again. I do agree that it was unsafe, and it was a dangerous re-entry to the track, regardless of whether he had control or not of the car, which to me it looked like he really didn't have control of the car. But I think you know, things like that, sometimes you just gotta let it slide, and you just gotta accept it as a thing that happens in racing. And both of them came away and they were able to stick close together again. No one got any car damage, and it just took so much excitement away from the ending to the race. And
it turned excitement into anger.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say it took excitement away from the on-track battle, but I guess the stuff that happened after the race with Vettel getting in of his car, that was pretty exciting. But yeah, I just feel that sometimes the stewards should just let something slide, and, you know, ease off a little bit on penalties that really didn't have much influence on the situation. It would have been a lot different if Hamilton had incurred damage or something like that, but he didn't, and they were able to continue racing as normal. So yeah, I think the penalty to deny Vettel and Ferrari what would have been a very, very important and crucial win, for them to be denied that, I think is, yeah, just incredibly harsh from the stewards.
Yeah, and just from hearing you talk about the whole situation briefly, I've got already so many questions that you actually could discuss just from that little incident. And it's just crazy, but that's how Formula One is. You've got one little incident like for like 2 seconds or something, and you could analyze like 2 hours of it and still maybe be of a different opinion. But I'll give you my opinion on the incident just in a minute, but then I think there really are some arguments to discuss, especially regarding what the penalty was given for. You know, it was, I think, pushing another driver off track while rejoining the track unsafely. I think that was the official line. But first of all, my opinion on the incident is similar to yours. Basically, the outcome of it, the penalty. Do I think the penalty was needed at that point? No, I don't think it was needed. It was kind of racing, and as you said, nobody got damage, and it also hadn't any consequences for Hamilton's race. Maybe if he had tried to go on the other side of Vettel when he rejoined the track, I don't think he would have passed him. And even with Vettel not pushing him off track, I don't think he would have been able to pass him anyway. But on the other hand, when I saw that incident, I was like, well, if that was gravel, if that was a wall, he made a mistake, you know? And that's also another thing you can discuss. Vettel, again, cracking under the pressure.
Yeah,
you know, we've talked about it plenty of times.
I think we will come back to that, because I do want to discuss that. But we'll come back to that later, maybe.
Yeah, so I think the penalty wasn't necessary. But on the other hand, when I watched the incident, and even now, I think Vettel gained an advantage by cutting the corner in that sense, and he rejoined unsafely in that part that, well, Hamilton was alongside him. At least his front wing was, I think, on the same, basically alongside of his side pots. And so you can argue that he pushed him off track. And I have to say, I don't really buy the argument that he wasn't in control of his car. Of course, when he rejoined the track and his rear wheels went over the curb on the inside, yeah, he had a little bit of an oversteering moment. But after that, he knew exactly that he wanted to get back to the racing line as fast as possible to block Hamilton behind. If he wanted, I'm pretty sure he could have gone more to the inside, but of course that's not what you want to do as a racing driver. You know you are leading the race, you made a mistake, and you want to get as quickly back to the racing line as possible. And in my opinion, Vettel knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah, and Hamilton said himself that he would have done the exact same thing that Vettel did. So
basically, to summarize my point, Do I think the penalty was necessary? No. Do I think it was fairish or Vettel can't complain about it? Yes, I think it was kind of fair, to be honest.
You think the penalty was fair?
I think the penalty or fair is a different. It's difficult to describe it as fair, but I think Vettel can't complain that he got the penalty. Maybe let's say it that way.
I don't know. I mean, it's a. I think he has every right to complain. If you think,
do you think it would be different if it was the other way around?
What if Hamilton got the penalty?
Yeah, what, Hamilton blocked Vettel and Hamilton got the penalty.
If what would be different?
Do you think your opinion, the opinion of maybe ex-drivers and everyone on the internet?
It could be. Yeah, I think.
Does it maybe play a part? As you said, it would have been a win for Ferrari since, well, Kimi, but for Vettel since a long time.
Yeah, for me personally, no, it wouldn't have made a difference. But I think to the much wider audience, maybe it would, because it would have seen Ferrari take away, not Mercedes, because we've seen Mercedes win, you know, a lot this year. So I guess to the more casual fan.
By the way, before you move on, I asked myself that earlier today. How many wins in a row are that for Mercedes? They won also in Abu Dhabi last year. They won in Brazil, I think.
Yeah.
What's I think the number?
How many is this year? I think nine. I think it's nine. They're on there.
Did they win in Mexico last year?
No, I think didn't Verstappen win Mexico.
Okay, yeah, I think. Okay, so nine.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's kind of like the good old days of 2014, 2015, all over again.
Yeah. So sorry, I interrupted. Go on.
Yeah, I do think maybe it could have been the reaction could have been a bit different, because it would have given the win to a team that hasn't won, and for the casual viewer who, you know, they want to see it mixed up and everything like that. But you know, I'm I like to think that I'm fair and yeah, unbiased. But you know, admittedly, I did want to see Ferrari and Vettel win that race in the interest of the championship. And you know, at the end of the day, I really don't care who wins. I just want to see an exciting battle, an exciting not only for one race but for the entire championship. And this race win could have been the start of that. So yeah, in terms of the championship, I was hoping Vettel could win to sort of claim back some momentum. But yeah, it's an interesting area, I guess, to think about if people would react differently had the roles been reversed. But yeah, ultimately, yeah, it is what it is. And yeah, just it's probably the biggest controversy in a couple of years anyway. I can't really think of the last time there was such uproar about a certain, maybe since Vettel and Hamilton came together in 2017 in Baku. Although I think this is much bigger than that. Way bigger.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, this is the direct result of a race victory. I mean, you could argue that penalty that Vettel got in Baku that time cost him the win, but you know, that there was kind of no argument about it. He definitely deserved that penalty. Actually, that one was too lenient in my opinion. So yeah, it's crazy situation, and it made the whole, it really overshadowed the whole race. And I'm sure when we turn up in France in just under 2 weeks, that it'll still be the hot topic of the weekend.
But I mean, you know the saying, there's no such thing as bad publicity. And I think even in the German newspapers and stuff, the story was, I don't know whether it was the front cover headline or something. But I mean, first of all, I think emotions and controversy kind of is good in some sense. And on the other hand, of course, it kind of promotes the sport a bit, maybe. Of course, it's not promoting it in a good way, but people hear about it. So, I mean, that's at least something you could take away from it, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, for the fans, it's a big talking point. It'll be something that we'll be remembering in 15, 20 years. It's a big moment, I think, for Formula One.
On the other hand, I think, I mean, has there ever been a time where fans were like cheering the stewards on for a decision? I can't remember that to be ever the case. And if you compare it to football, for example, nobody loves the referee. He can only make bad decisions, right?
Yeah, people don't really praise the stewards when the stewards award a penalty that's probably deserved. No one, you know, starts clapping and cheering and going on social media saying, "Yeah, woo!" Yeah, but when it's a penalty that they disagree with, they, you know, everyone just goes crazy and loses their mind. So, yeah, I guess it's a tough job, I think, for the stewards to get the decisions right, because, you know, decisions like these have major consequences for everyone involved. So, yeah, it was a big. A big decision to make. Yeah, I just wanted maybe to talk about the mistake. If you have anything, or if you don't have anything else to say on the penalty itself.
No, go on. Let's talk about the mistake then.
Yeah, I think people are reading too much into that particular mistake. You know, Vettel has, I guess over the last year or so, gotten himself into a couple of situations, but I think this particular one in Canada, it's not really like the others. I wouldn't put it in the same category, even the one that he made in Bahrain earlier this year. I think this one was just, you know, people were forgetting that Hamilton was making mistakes in the race too, just not that particular corner, but he was locking up a lot of times into the hairpin and running quite deep.
But that's a place where you can do that, where you can take the risk knowing that still if you lock up.
But he still made the mistake. You can easily damage your race by doing a mistake there, by upsetting your tires, you know, whatever it is. Just because you can afford to make mistakes there doesn't mean that you should necessarily... Well, I'm not discouraging the drivers saying that they shouldn't push, but, you know, it's not the same. I think just the particular area of the track where Vettel made his mistake, it's just more costly because of the grass and the downhill and whatever. And, you know, what this race was Hamilton and Vettel driving, you know, pushing really hard the whole race to try and get on one another. And I think it's really... When I'm reflecting on it, I was like, you know, it was great to see these two drivers, two legendary drivers that will forever be remembered in the sport as two of the greatest.
Remembered me of Spa 2017, I think it was, when they also stayed within 2 seconds in the during the whole race.
Yeah, I mean, they were just pushing lap after lap to try and stay ahead, Vettel was trying to stay ahead, Hamilton was trying to get ahead, and it was fantastic. And, you know, it's bound to be... There's bound to be a couple of hiccups in there. I don't discredit Vettel or Hamilton, for that sake, because of the mistakes that they were making. Because what it showed was that they were just completely on the edge throughout the whole race. And that's something that I think we should enjoy rather than criticize. Because for us, for the fans, it made for a very exciting race and quite an unpredictable one.
Yeah, I get where you're going. On the other hand, when was the last time Hamilton made a race-deciding mistake? You know, that's maybe one key element that Vettel currently is lacking. Of course, we know. I mean, he's a four-time world champion. We don't need to talk about that. But in the last couple of years, it is so strange. You know, why these mistakes always happen to him, right?
Well, because Hamilton, whenever he wins, he's usually way out in front, and if he does make a mistake, he has the time to... I mean, there has been races, you know, we see races where he's gone wide. It happens, you know, it just happens, but he always seems to have a bit of a gap whenever he makes particular mistakes. There was a race, it must have been last year, where he went wide somewhere while leading. I'm sure it was. But yeah, he always just seems to have the gap. But you know, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't, you know, look down on Vettel at all for the mistake that he made in Canada. You know, instead I'm admiring the way he drove on the edge the whole race, and the same way with Hamilton, pressurizing him the whole way. And you know, Nico Rosberg said it in as well, that it's so much more difficult for the guy that's leading, because the guy behind can make mistakes and catch back up. Well, and you know, Mercedes did look like they had the quicker car over the race stint,
which also surprised me, to be honest, because in the first stint Ferrari seemed to be faster, but as soon as they switched to the hard tires, yeah, basically the pace switched around. Mercedes seemed to be coping with the harder tires much more, and that's, I think, a topic for another episode. Maybe next week we can talk about that. The Pirelli tire situation, as we know, they seem to be much harder to get into the ride window, and maybe that was a problem of the Ferrari in that case as well. But yeah, it was strange that Mercedes was so much quicker there, and that led to this situation.
Yeah, well, we know that Ferrari are struggling on their tires anyway, compared to Mercedes, who seem to be excelling in that area. Yeah, I just realized we're over 20 minutes in, and we haven't even touched on anything else that happened in the race other than the penalty. Yeah, it kind of goes to show just how big of a topic and how controversial it is. What was I talking about before that? Yeah, what Rosberg said about, yeah, you know, it is a lot more difficult for the leading car. And I think if you just put yourself into Vettel's shoes for a minute, this was his first shot at a victory in quite a while. And you know, I said in the build up to Canada that I thought Ferrari would go well in Canada. I didn't know if they'd quite have the pace to challenge Mercedes, but I knew that they'd be a lot closer than what they were in the previous races. And yeah, it was he drove incredibly well, Vettel, bar that mistake that he made. And even in qualifying, I mean, his qualifying lap was really, really good.
And you could hear it afterwards on the radio that he was really relieved to get pole.
Yeah, not only the team, the whole team was relieved.
Yeah.
It was going so well, and I did feel a bit sorry for him after the event. I think it was a race that he was hard done by. And that was really, really tough to take, because he wants this championship with Ferrari. It's you know, he's been there for a while now. What's this, his fifth year?
Fourth.
15, 16, 17, 18, 19. 16. Yeah, no, it's fifth year. Fifth year Ferrari. So as I'm counting on my fingers, my maths isn't.
Yeah, me too.
Not very good at all. So you know, he wants this championship, and 2019 was poised to be a great year for him and for Ferrari, and it's not going that way. So yeah, really, really tough situation. But he has to turn up now in France and just get the job done and move on, which I'm sure he will, because Vettel is probably, well, usually one of the more level-headed guys, bar maybe his 2016 year, but that was a really outlier kind of year. But I think he'll be back with the penalty behind him, the thoughts of all that behind him, and determined to next time beat Mercedes.
And maybe coming back again to the penalty situation, also thinking, I think I touched on it earlier, if you would compare this kind of mistake to other corners, well, there are different scenarios. Scenario one, there's a wall, well, race over. Scenario two, you've got a situation like we have here, it's grass or whatever, and you lose time and need to rejoin the track. And scenario three, maybe that you have some kind of layout, as we had on, I think, two or three type of corners here in Canada, where you need to go around the bollard to rejoin the track safely. And only in that scenario here, it was possible for Vettel to rejoin the track. So he clearly gained an advantage by not being punished for an error. And for me, that's the more crucial bit compared to the one he actually got the penalty for, which was, I think, pushing Hamilton off track, which in general seemed a bit stupid to me because, well, how do you... I mean, the wall is so close and the white line doesn't matter there anyway, so... right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a controversial situation. I say that. I think we should maybe move on because everyone listening has probably heard to everyone else talk about this now for so long. So I mean, I've said everything that I've needed to say about it. So
okay, let's go back to the pit building then.
Yeah.
Well, talking about the race, I think it was a good race. I enjoyed it actually, even though of course, as you said, it in the end it had a little bit of a negative touch from different sides, although it was quite entertaining to see Vettel flipping the boards around and going back to his Ferrari hospitality, and you sat there watching, will he go to the podium, will we have a two-time podium for the first time ever, and stuff, and I wonder what would have happened if he if he didn't come back. I don't know, to be honest. I would assume the top FIA guys would basically come to him in the Ferrari hospitality and basically beg for him to come to the podium, because it would look really bad to the whole public if there were only two drivers on the podium.
I don't think Vettel wanted to go to the podium, but
I don't think either.
Yeah, but Ferrari convinced him that it's just something he had to do and get over with. I mean, I'm guessing Ferrari would have been fined a hefty amount of money if he hadn't. I don't know if they would have been disqualified. I don't think they would have been, as long as he parked his car and Parc Fermé, which he did. Not the Parc Fermé for the podium, but for the other cars.
Have you seen the video where Hamilton pulled up alongside him and wanted to give him a ride to the end of?
No, I didn't actually see that. But in the press conference, Hamilton said that. Yeah, but I didn't actually see that. But.
Wasn't there actually a rule implemented that you can't take somebody with you?
Well,
wouldn't that have been funny if Vettel just jumped on, went to the end of the pit lane, and Hamilton got a 5-second penalty as well?
He should have done that. but that would have been the mother of all controversies. Then, God, can you imagine? Yeah, overall, I agree. It was quite an exciting race. I did enjoy it. It's always great when you have two drivers like that at the front, battling it out like that. And yeah, it seemed like in the first stint that Vettel had, it looked like he would have the race covered. And even when Hamilton was behind him, it looked like he might have the race covered. The straight line speed of the Ferrari was outrageous this weekend. And I think it would have been quite difficult for Hamilton to overtake Vettel. I did enjoy it. There was a few battles going around. We had quite an exciting one at one point between Bottas and Daniel Ricciardo.
Actually, that's the battle I thought when you started the sentence.
We also had a very strange incident involving Lando Norris and his suspension. That was kind of weird. But yeah, I mean, overall, I quite enjoyed the race.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much did you enjoy the race for our race rating?
It's kind of a tough one, actually, because, it kind of... most of the race kind of just seemed to be focused on Hamilton and Vettel, which of course is good, at least because they were fighting for the lead. But yeah, I mean, I think it was, it's always good when you have the two guys like that really, really close, not quite knowing who's going to win. So yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it as a Canadian Grand Prix. I'm going to go for a 6 out of 10. I was thinking about 5.5, but that kind of just seems a bit low, so I'm going to go for a 6.
Interesting. I hope you're seated. Because I actually enjoyed it. We had the battle between, as you said, Vettel and Hamilton. We had, some controversy. We had emotions. We had overtakes in the midfield, at the back of the grid. We had, at the end of the race, we had that really good overtake from Lance Stroll, I thought, on I think it was Carlos Sainz. Yeah. We had some spins of Giovinazzi, for example, and I thought it was a really good race. For me, it was the second most enjoyable race for me this season, and for that reason, it is a 7. So one of the few times where I rate a race higher than
is it the first time?
I don't think so. I think we actually had that sometime some years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I really enjoyed it, and I thought it was actually a good race to watch. There wasn't a safety car. There was a safety car missing, but still, it provided enough action for me, at least. In terms of driver of the weekend, who do you think performed well in the race and in qualifying? And that is actually a pretty difficult thing to rate for this weekend, I thought, because we had plenty of drivers that did well in the Grand Prix, but got out qualified at the back of the grid. So I really had to think about that. But what's your choice?
Yeah, for me, it's fairly obvious who I'm gonna go for. But yeah, there was a lot of good performances. I want to mention, my driver of the weekend runner up, if there is such a thing, is Lance Stroll. I think Stroll did a fantastic job. I mean, in qualifying, he was just over half a tenth behind Perez in Q1, despite running an engine that he's raced all the 6 races with this year, whereas Perez had the brand new engine. And then qualifying, did a great job. He extended his opening stint, went really long into the race, kept Gasly behind him for a long time, which kind of ruined his race. And then when he pitted, he rejoined in the points and then chased down Carlos Sainz and picked up P9. So yeah, I mean, really, really good weekend from him. But my driver of the weekend, without a doubt, is, I think I've only mentioned his name once so far, is Daniel Ricciardo. Who is just, that qualifying, to out-qualify a Red Bull and a Mercedes, despite, Gasly being Gasly at the moment and Bottas having, terrible time in Q3. It was a great qualifying from him getting P4. I thought maybe he might have been able to do a bit more on the first lap on the softer tires, but it was fine, and he finished P6, which was pretty much the maximum he was going to get with Bottas and Verstappen coming through, and you thought Gasly might have been able to pip him there, but both Renaults in fact finished ahead of Gasly, and Hülkenberg as well did a great job in qualifying. I was a little bit off Ricciardo, but in the race he seemed to be quicker than Ricciardo, so yeah, the two of them. And I think Renault actually imposed team orders to stop them from racing, which probably one of the few times where I say that's probably a good decision for Renault.
It is understandable, at least
just to take home the points after a tough I think this is the first time since USA last year where they Renault have a double points finish. Where they also finished P6 and P7. it was one of the races towards the end of last year anyway. So yeah, for me, Daniel Ricciardo, he was pretty flawless all weekend. So yeah, for me, he's my driver of the weekend.
Yeah, no disagreement there. I also picked Danny Ricciardo as my driver of the weekend for the reasons that you actually already mentioned. So yeah, really good weekend for him. And as you said, other drivers doing really well, others maybe not so. We've talked about the Gasly situation, which must be a pretty difficult one for him, but also for the team, maybe. What do they do? But I mean, you still have to come back to, I think, what you said a couple of episodes ago. The thing he can or should achieve is finishing P6, whatever race they do enter, when Verstappen maybe finishes P5 or sometimes P4 or stuff. But here in Canada, of course, you said it. His race was basically destroyed by not being able to pass Stroll. So maybe it was also a bit of a strategic mistake. But still, I think, when was the last time one of the top three teams where one of them got lapped, you know, and Gasly got lapped, which is quite a statement, actually. So, yeah, difficult situation for him and Red Bull, but we'll find out how they'll handle that. And, of course, we do hope that Gasly finds his form back, maybe a setup that suits him, that suits the car. And yeah, let's hope he can actually get up to speed and maybe challenge Verstappen in the second half of the season. Who knows? But yeah, all in all, I think a very good race. And we had so many stories. I think we could even go on another half an hour and still only cover half of it. You know, with the Mercedes hydraulic story, where some people were, yeah, questioning why they were able to change the system and not maybe being 100% the same parts and getting away with it. Then maybe to put that in, it was you only need to basically provide the evidence that it has the same function, which I think was why they got away with it. Then Ferrari basically appealed against the decision, which I don't quite understand. Maybe that was something we could talk about briefly at the end of the episode. They appealed against the fives. What did they appeal? What did they appeal? Because I think I read the regulation that for penalties applied within the race, there is no option to appeal, but only if they can provide new evidence or something. Do you know what the situation is there?
Yeah, well, they've lodged their intent to appeal, so as it stands, they haven't actually appealed anything yet. They've just sort of said that they are looking to appeal it, which might not go through. You know, they might say that they leave it. And
is there a deadline on when they have?
Yeah, I think it's 96 hours after they lodge the intent to appeal. So that's, yeah, what, Wednesday, Thursday, yeah. I don't know, my 24 times whatever to make 92, 96. So yeah, it's 96 hours to see what they can come up with, I guess. And if they think that it's not worth appealing in the end, they can go against it, and the thing will be settled. But we'll wait and see what comes of it. But I'd be extremely surprised if anything. If the decision was reversed. Actually, I'd be surprised if they ended up going through the whole thing and going through the actual appeal. If they do, they'll obviously be confident that they have evidence to suggest that the penalty wasn't fair. So if that happens, that could be interesting. But these things can take quite a while to sort out, and there is the potential that we could end up coming to France with this result still up in the air. I mean, I'm sure if they do go to appeal it, they'll want to move to sort it out before the next race. But I think there is that possibility. But again, that would be extremely surprising if that were to happen. And even before that, if they were to go through with the appeal, it would be extremely surprising to me.
Yeah, it is kind of a strange situation. I would compare it again to maybe football. It is like a team would launch an appeal against a penalty kick they got during the match, and they were not basically they didn't agree with the decision. I mean, it's over, isn't it? I mean, of course, you know, I'm also not biased, and I would of course hope for a championship that is close, but in that case, well, the race is over, the deed is done, the penalty has been applied, and I also would be very surprised if Ferrari actually went through the whole story I don't know what they have actually to do and what organizations need to be involved after that within the FIA, but yeah, we'll wait and see and find out what will go on. Right, so 40 minutes in, we discussed two topics or something, but I think we've got plenty of topics, of course, for our next week's episode. Or is there anything you want to, you still want to talk about from the Canadian GP that's important?
I mean, I guess it was good once again to see Ferrari up there to demonstrate that their car does have pace. And coming to France, you know, there's some straights there. I wonder if they're also appealing to get that chicane in France along the straight to be removed to give them an advantage on the straight. But you know, once again, we did see that the car does have pace. Maybe not to challenge Mercedes consistently, but you know, to challenge them at some places. And yeah, with a few races coming up that have a bit of dependency on straight line speed, I think Ferrari could be a bit closer. I think they also have some upgrades. They're expecting some upgrades for the French Grand Prix. I think they, well, what I believe is, I'm not 100% sure on this, but what I think is the situation is that they actually had the upgrades ready for Canada, but they opted not to bring them in because they believed that their car that they already had would suit the Circuit Gilles Villeneuve anyway, and
as it
turned, so it turned out it did. So but I think, yeah, they will be bringing upgrades, or they plan to bring upgrades anyway to France. So yeah, maybe I guess help them close in on Mercedes. But it does seem that their biggest issue right now is the tires, and yeah, the tires, I think, is probably something we'll, like you said earlier, something that we'll be talking about next week maybe, because we heard a lot about tires over the Canadian Grand Prix weekend. But yeah, it was good to see Ferrari up there once again, and yeah, Vettel and Hamilton battling like that, and hopefully we can see that more often going forward.
Absolutely. So yeah, many topics, as you said, for next week's episode. Pirelli tire situation, of course, if you want to know more about that, and whether we will have a change of tire construction, we'll discuss that next week. Also, we had some news about about new regulations in terms of maybe implementing Parc Fermé earlier than it is currently. We have a number on the budget cap that we discussed already a few episodes ago. Yeah, so many, many interesting topics. And also, of course, especially with this episode, it would be interesting to get your opinion on the penalty itself. Of course, there are many places on the internet people voice their opinion, but it would be really interesting to get to know the opinions of our listeners. What do you think? Was it a fair penalty? And on the other hand, would you have given the penalty as a steward? Or do you think it was a good decision for the race and for the sport itself? So yeah, that would be quite interesting. And if you enjoy our podcast, feel free to leave a rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you are listening. So yeah, thank you very much for listening, And we will be back next week talking about the fast-moving world of Formula One. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye.